Matthew's Gospel chapter 1 quickly. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, we are still on the secret place, church gatherings. Still teaching from what we learned at the camp meeting. Now, Matthew, who writes this synoptic, points our attention back to the Old Testament. Because Jesus, the seed of David, and the seed of Abraham. So the context of the Old Testament, or sorry, the New Testament, is the Old Testament. You need the Old Testament to read the New Testament. Because that's the background, that's the context. That's where you get the meanings from. If you ask, what was the audience of Matthew, what were they reading as the Word of God? What they read as the Word of God is Genesis through to Malachi. That's what they read as the Word of God. So, in Matthew 6, for example, when Jesus is speaking to the disciples, we're going to look at that maybe much more later in the service or in the second. He says, when you pray, verse 9, say, Our Father who art in heaven. Now, why would he call God their Father? Was it an innovation? In fact, in Matthew 5, and 44, it says, Matthew 5:44. Oh, let's go to verse 45. That you may be like the children of your Father which is in heaven. Then he says to them in verse 48, be ye perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Of course, when we use heaven, heaven is not where you go to when you die. That's clear for you if you're a member of this church or a student of scriptures. Heaven is not, heaven is in the earth. Heaven is a reality. Heaven is describing. Every time heaven is mentioned, it's to show you that the earth is God's rest place, his dwelling place. But the concept of calling God Father, did he come to Jesus? Did he innovate it? No, he didn't. God as Father is as much as an Old Testament fact as it is a New Testament fact. We're going to look at that quickly too. So he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What he meant by hallowed be your name, also we're going to see it in this service in a second. So did he come up with this concept of God as Father, or just like we have said, the context of what he's saying here is found in the Old Testament. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 1. You are the children of the Lord your God. You are the children of the Lord your God. So you can see this is from the lips of Moses. He says, you are the children of the Lord your God. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 23. Again, from the lips of Moses, from 22. He says, Israel is my son and my firstborn. So, go say to Pharaoh, let my son go. Let my son go. So, that concept cannot be new in the New Testament. No, it can't be. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 9, Jeremiah 31 and verse 9. It says, they shall come with weeping and with supplication, I'll lead them, I'll call them to walk by the rivers of water in the straight way, when they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, Ephraim is my firstborn. I am a father. He identifies himself as father. Look at Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63 and verse 16. Isaiah 63 and verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father, for Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, O Lord, our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Our father, our redeemer. Chapter 64, again, verse 8. Thou art our father, we are the clay, thou art our brother, we are all the work of your hands. So Jesus is not coming up with the concept of God as Father as an innovation. No, he's not. If we're going to extend this study a bit, when he called Abraham to walk with him, and he called him father of many nations. Now, just like he promised Abraham seed, and he became the seed himself, that is something he shares with Abraham as a covenant partner. God is the father of many nations, and is also the seed of promise. So, the concept of God as father was not innovated by Jesus. It's not innovated by Jesus. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, Matthew wants us to go back to the Old Testament. He says, Father, our Father, go back to the Old Testament to understand what the Father means. Usually we kind of read those stuff like biological father. No. It's the Old Testament understanding of the Father God, the fatherhood of God. Matthew's Gospel 20. Learn something. Come on, guys, learn something. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, verse 18, which is the word power, is given me in heaven and in earth. And was heaven and earth is God's rest place. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them 20, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he brings in what we have been saying about heaven and earth in the same place. We saw three things as we have been teaching on the sacred place, or the sacred area, the sacred land. One, it says, all of us in heaven and earth together, verse 18. Then in 19, all nations together. Lo, I am with you always. Because we said the house of God is union of what? Heaven and earth, mankind, and what? God and man. Don't forget that. In Mark's Gospel chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Again, Mark is taking us back to Isaiah and Malachi. And notice again the use of the word beginning, R-K-A-R-C-H-E. Matthew says the book of the genealogy, both of them use the Genesis concept. The word genealogy there is the word Genesis, Matthew 1:1, and in Mark 1:1 is the word R-K, the same word for beginning. So there's a whole lot of truth that needs to be understood from Genesis. In Mark's Gospel 16 and 15, he said to them again, go into all the world and put the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they bring any deadly thing, verse 18, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they the sick shall recover. Look at 19. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. That's heaven and earth, one. Then he says, go into all the world and put it up to every creature, right, all nations together. Then in 20, and they went forth and put everywhere the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following a man. Again, we have that union. God and man, mankind, and heaven and earth. In Luke's Gospel 1:1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth another the question of those things which are mostly believed among us, even as he delivered them to us, which from the beginning we had witnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also. Verse 3, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write of me another most excellent theophilus. Verse 4, thou mayest know the subject of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. This gives the background that Luke is writing to a Gentile, just as an audience of one who is a Gentile. Giving us the idea again, the picture that Jesus is not just ministered to Israel and to Jews, he ministered to Gentiles. We saw that in Luke 10 when he sent the disciples out to other nations within the nation of Israel. So Luke's Gospel 24, quick one, and verse 25. Upon his resurrection, he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Again, look at 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning at Moses. So to understand the New Testament, you have to read the Old Testament. The New Testament is explained by the Old Testament. The Old Testament explains the New. Like I've said to you, the Old and New Testament rise or fall together. You don't discard one for the other. They rise or fall together. If you invalidate one, you invalidate the other one. In Luke's Gospel again 24:44, it says, These are the words which I spake to you while I was yet new, where all things must be fulfilled, which was in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then you pull the understanding that they might understand the scriptures, which means to read the Bible together. So we do have a duty to read the scriptures together. I've said it to you over and over again. You don't say the Bible says, and you're quoting one verse. When you say the Bible says, you must have taken in cognizance, or you must take into account the whole Bible. The moment there is a contradiction, you don't wish it away. You don't just, you read it again. There should be no contradiction, because there is no contradiction. If there is a contradiction, it features on your mind, or it's in the way you are explaining it. And we have to be very patient. A brother, well, is a pastor of brother both ways. He once told me, he said, I compared what you share on social media and what is actually on your website. He said it's wide apart. And he said, why? I said, because you do more injustice to people when you can't explain something to them, but you have said it. People often go into error when you give them an incomplete picture of anything. In fact, let me say this. I remember Mark Hankey also retweeted this one day when I was speaking some years back. Usually, your audience extends whatever you are saying. Usually, when you say something to anyone, I mean, look at your kids, look at, you know, people you talk to. They make assumptions. People usually listen differently. There are people who will think you are saying what you never said. And people usually give their interpretation to what they're saying. This must be what you meant. This must be what you meant. Have you ever seen someone say, I thought that was what you meant? When I spoke in literal terms. Now, imagine if you don't teach something properly and it's assumed. Now look at the Facebook. The first thing is that we have an upcoming generation that have a very low attention span, very short, pardon me. And usually they just make assumptions. Now, this is what you're trying to say. So if you use a forum that is limited in it, now you can go there and, you know, create debates and get some necessary following and all that. But these things require days and weeks. Days and weeks. We saw Luke told us Jesus used 40 days. Now, this is after 3.5 years of teaching. 40 days. To explain and explain. In the sense of the apostles, they taught daily. Moses, morning till night. So if you also show up for your knowledge and go on Facebook and begin to explain something, you say, hey, oh Bible. All that is childish. You should be patient in teaching. Be very patient. And sometimes people ask me questions, I say, go and listen to this series. They say, but can't you just say, no, it's not done that way. Can't you just say, come on, just tell us now, tell me the answer. I say, there's no answer like that. In fact, when it comes to the Bible, let me say something. There's no yes and no to Bible questions. Are we, both so and so? So, can a believer go to so and so, maybe I don't want to say hell, but so there's no yes and no. You say no, there's no yes and no. Any question requires explanation. There is no short answer to Bible questions. Not one. There is no short answer to Bible questions. Not one. Even a question as simple as is the Bible the word of God? Someone say no. And say, because people spoke in the Bible, people spoke in the Bible. You know, that's a very simplistic answer. Because everything that you're eventually going to turn to as the word of God is still going to be people speaking. So it's not a straight-jacketed, straightforward answer. Therefore, that's why there's an office of teaching. It's an office. Teaching is not a hobby in the scriptures. It's an office of honor. And I want to say this to many people who on social media just try to trickle and they just create debates and they just be talking blah, 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 blah. And you know, it will eventually injure the doctrine of the word. Pay attention. Take time offline to explain God's word, then put it online. You should not, whatever you cannot do offline, don't do online. If I won't come to church and just say something and go off and just create a debate and get out, then I shouldn't do it online. I should ensure that I put out the word. Now, there could be things I will say. Someone will say, how do you explain this? I say, okay, you know, go to this series we have taught. And don't start something online that you have never explained anywhere. It's injurious to people's faith. People have been led astray with this. I want to show I know something. I can correct something. I can correct the body of Christ. I can correct what I say. It has become a huge problem. And in a generation and an age where people are looking for attention and acceptance, a preacher must not fall into that trap. So people will know that, me too, I'm there, I get here. I submit this thing now. Is it not this one? There's one guy like that, he just came to a camp meeting. And he just went on social media. I told the camp, he said, yes, I know, sir. And I said, see, did you see me write on it? He said, no. You think I can't write? You think I don't know how to write? Is it A, B, C, D, E, or G, H? This is unnecessary. If you take this thing you are writing, and you just, this thing you are writing, I just wrote in 10 lines. If you are going to explain it, it will take you 10 days, and you know it. So why are you doing this? So I look at me, the one guy I met on Facebook, when he's teaching Paul the writing. Now, I'm not saying something that's funny. This is something I've said before about myself. Okay, leave it. We say that emoji, that I dare say, we say that, my friend said, I dare say, what we are sharing today, if Paul were to be here, he'd be taking notes. No! In the 90s, or not recently, that's not the matter. I dare say. And what were you teaching? What Paul wrote. You know. So, we must be patient. And the reason why many are not patient in history, they are not patient students. If you've learned something in patience, you will know how to teach it in patience. Am I right? Is there somebody coming to you? You have your PhD maybe in nuclear physics or PhD in pediatrics. Someone else says, can you explain it to me in 10 seconds? Or just quickly, just summarize it. You look at the person and say, you got the man will say, that as your health expired. So that is, you have summarized many things together. They are not real. And the medication has even expired. You want me to explain something that took me 14 years, 15 years. It's just summarize. It's not difficult. Anything that is not learned can be easy. Just say in one line. One line is just stupid. So that's the same way. If things you have not learned patiently, maybe you also went on one YouTube, picked something, and you say rubbish. So when you are in church, and we're doing this, be patient. One day, I've told you, you may not know it now, but one day you are going to be called upon to say and explain what you are hearing now. One day. So as you pay attention, you are not paying attention for you alone. You are paying attention for others. Are you here? Very good. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we said that this explanation is better from the Hebrew Bible. Yesterday I think we said something about a name for the Word. What do you call it? What did we call? No. I said it better. I said something else. What did we call Old Testament yesterday? We said Hebrew scriptures or God's word in Hebrew language. Can you remember? Alright. So we said go back to the Hebrew and the word is Dabar, which is a visible revelation of God, has now become flesh. John 1:1 and John 1:14. John 20 and before we go to John 5, John 5, John 5, and verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, they are daily testify of me. You will not come to them and have life. We said that this is not, when it comes to the Jesus and the Old Testament, it's not as much as prophecies. Many prophecies, they are giving about Jesus. There are more things about Jesus in the Old Testament that are not prophecies. And the writer here is saying, go back and read the Old Testament. You will see the testimony of Jesus there. That means you are going to see the evidence of his presence. In verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, with whom you trust. 45, for if you believe Moses, you have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So there is a connection between the New and the Old Testament books, and that's Jesus. So he's found in the two books, if you're going to allow me to use that, of scripture. So in John 20 and verse 22, it says he breathed on, and we said if you look at the Hebrew scriptures, that word breathe on from the Greek translation is emphusao, E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O, which is found in Genesis 2:7, which means that the essence of writing that John 20:22 is that John wants you to see that that is the God who breathed into Adam. So Jesus is not a prophecy of the Old Testament. No, there's a prophecy about him in the Old Testament becoming man, but he is an actor in the Old Testament. It's part and parcel of the events of the Old Testament. Now we're looking at the sacred place, the church, the gathering of believers. Now go to 1 Timothy again, chapter 3 and verse 15. Are you in church? Good. You know, I said on Sunday and the Sunday before that recognition is very important. For you to even know where you are. When I said earlier, I said, do you have a Bible? Christians should have a Bible. That means, where are you going to? Okay, let me mention something. Someone is going somewhere and say, wow, have you ever had your, maybe your parents then, they say, come with me. And then you see you dressed like Tarzan. You know Tarzan? You know Tarzan? Okay, what do you mean? I don't know. Which one? And they say, who are you following like that? Go and change. They go and change properly. You know, because why are you going to like this? Or you wear a Muslim slippers. There was one guy like that. We're going just last week. When I was just mentioning, we're in Abeokuta. So somehow we missed our turn. So he just stood in front of the car, very foolishly, to stop. So I said, wait. So that came out and said, blah blah blah. He said, everything here, you're going to pay maybe 100,000. How much is your salary? But when I was saying, so I said, how are you dressed like this? That naturally, that if we are going to be crazy, we just find a way of, we will not do anything to you, but we make sure that you don't stay in front of the car. I told him that. I said, look, he's wearing slippers. On a Monday morning, I think it was Monday, slippers. Official duty. There's no way I can identify you as a government official. Because the work you are doing is not casual, it's not a hobby. You know? That means you dress for what you are going to do. They are thinking, this is not. Just like when Joseph was going to meet Pharaoh, they clean him up. You can't be wearing a number 444446. They wear the uniform of prison. You are paying the guy up. Because where are you going to? So you have to recognize, where am I going to? Imagine somebody having a wedding party, and then the bride is dressed, and then the groom just wears one dirty Chelsea jersey, and as they see the girl, everybody's crying, so the first problem is the Chelsea fan is pressing and getting married to. Second problem is that it's the Chelsea fan. doesn't matter whether we're 11 or 12, doesn't change anything. Every time we're 12, number of disciples. you think you guys can solve us now? You can't try it. It won't happen. So, you know, I said, what are you wearing? This is not, Because they are going somewhere. Or going for an exam. And he said, where's your writing material? He said, hey, do we need it? Because you have to, you know where you are going to. So when you are going to a sacred place, church, and he goes, say, I'm going to talk to you later. I said, where's your Bible? Do we need Bible? It's not church. It's, you know, church is about just dance and praise God and pray. So all our problems will solve. That means you don't know where you are going to. And unfortunately, you know, some people have done that. They say, come to this our service. Bring a photograph of your enemies. If your husband is misbehaving, bring his picture. If your children are not passing in school, bring their school books. if your house girl is misbehaving, find something, a scarf, bring it. She will start behaving well. If your landlord is doing something, bring his name. You know, and all that. Somebody will now come to church. They will now bring some big cutlass. Somebody bring big kerosene. What's going on here? Well, just do it. You know? That's why people will come to church. It's what people are doing, church and abalist space. Just get our problem solved. But this is the church of the living God. Amen. And so we must know where we are. That's why you can't be late. 1 Timothy 3:15. But by tarrying long that thou mayest know how thou hast to behave thyself in the house of God. It's not your house, okay? It's the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So when we come together, this assembly is called the house of God. Now, the context of this is going to fall away again in the Old Testament. I'm going to read to you a text we shared yesterday and also on Friday. 2 Kings 17. When they say the house of God, 2 Kings 17. We shared that yesterday in the teaching season on high. And verse 29. Every nation made gods of their own. Okay? That's the word Elohim. And put them in houses of high places. Houses. And the word house here is beis, house of gods. A place of worship. Beis. Now go to verses 28. So house of a divine being is what we call today a shrine or a temple. A shrine or a temple. The word for temple is actually the word shrine in English today. A shrine. A sacred area where a non-physical deity is worshipped. Verses 28. This is the reason why Jacob said, when he had that vision, Genesis 28 and verse 12. And what did he see? He dreamed and he said, he saw on earth heaven. And he saw the Lord God above it. Now, let me just see whether you're following. Look at 12, Genesis 28. Behold, the angels of God. What do we call that? We have changed that phrase. What do we call it? Host of heaven. Ascending and descending on it. Now, what other name? Now, okay, look at 13. And behold, the Lord stood where? Now, what does that, give me one word that describes that. The Lord standing above the host of heaven. What is that? That's the throne of God. That is the seat of authority. So, the throne of God is not a chair. It's a seat above the host of heaven. So he says, now this is very important. Then 13, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land that you lie, to thee will I give of your seed. Now look at 12, verse 16. When he woke out of his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. So he said, the first thing is to recognize where you are, right? Recognize where you are. Where are you? When you have that cell group meeting, where are you? Now, it need not be camp meeting. A workers' meeting is a shrine to God. A workers planning meeting, a departmental meeting in church is a sacred meeting. So don't let it start. Let it start with every meeting that is done to worship God. Every meeting that is done to revere Him. So he says, I did not know. Look at the next one. He said, he was afraid. He said, the second thing is you have to have awe and respect. And that's why you won't be late. That's why you behave yourself. You won't make noise. It's all today. We are asking you to put off your phones. Put off your phones. It's even strange. But we have to. Because we have believers among us who act like they are in the world. So it says here, it says, how dreadful is this place? That is what awesome. An awesome place. Then it says, it's not other but the gate of heaven, the house of God. Call it shrine. Call it temple. Now, some folks in Genesis 11 had attempted to do this. Because it is house, we don't build it for him. An attempt to build him a house is idol worship. And it's sinful. We don't build him a house. Now, we can build a venue. We can build a meeting place. Right? And we, put stuff there and all of that. And it's comfortable. I mean, put chairs and all that. And put the screens to work. We put things, put the sound system where, put the meal. We are building a meeting place. But that is not the meeting. You can build a meeting place. And why even a meeting place? Because we have to have, a specific area where, and all that, and all that. But pay attention to this. In Genesis 11, some folks came together in verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And he said, go to, let us build a city and a tower. Now that word tower is, in the Mesopotamian culture, is called a ziggurat. Ziggurat is spelled Z-I-W-G-U-R-A-T. A ziggurat, by dictionary definition, is a complex of temples or a temple. It's done in the Mesopotamian culture to build a link between gods and men. Gods and men. So there are two suggestions here that this proposes. One, we are building a house for supernatural beings outside God, right? Or two, and both ways is applicable. They, look at this very well, they reduced Yahweh to someone that they can bring in their control. Come and stay here. We are going to do something for you. That's a lot of irreverence. So, this is why you see that they were trying to worship God on their own terms. This was happening here. Now, unfortunately, some of the pictures we have that they are building one skyscraper. Like, is it Burj Gujaraj? No. What they are building here is a temple of worship. So this is one of the, one of the genesis of idol worship in the Bible. Let's build it for God. Now, the core thing here is not the building. It's the worship. So, the house of God, pay attention guys, is not the building. No. It's what we are doing here. Our gathering together. That's the house. That's the house. So, as a counter narrative, look at the difference. Look at Genesis 11 verse 4. They so let's build a city and tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Lord God came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Now the word came down there in the Hebrew is like someone who, let me put it in a very mild way, is like it's sarcasm. Is this like he came down to look down on what they are doing in Jerusalem? Now, verses 28 and verse 12. Look at the counter, which is this is what God is doing. In verse 12, he bring and behold a ladder set up where? On earth. So notice the first one men were doing it. This one God is doing it himself. And the top of it went to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascend and descend on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. So in the first instance, men were doing it. In the second instance, who is doing it? God. So when it comes to the house of God, alright, which is where is the meeting, is the ascending. It's God who takes preeminence. We don't decide what the house of God should be. The house of God has been decided by God. Our own, right, is to receive the house of God, to practice it. So the house of God is something we practice. So that's what's going on here. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, I showed you that earlier. David, 2 Samuel 7, verse 1. It came to pass when David, the king, sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest around about from all his enemies. And the king said to the Nathan the prophet, see now, I build the house of cedar. That means I'm living in a comfortable place. But the ark of God dwells within curtains. The Nathan said to the king, go, do all in your hearts, for the Lord is with you. And he said, look, let's do something for God. Came to pass that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, go, tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? That is, you can't do it. Wherein I have not dwelt in any house since the time when I brought up children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, I have walked in the tent and the tabernacle, in all the places where I have walked. So he said, but we won't do this. Rather, what God said to David, he said, I will build a house for you. That's what he was, that's the response he gave to David. Now eventually, when Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 8, when he built a house, look at what he said in verse 27. 1 Kings 8:27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I built it? 1 Kings 8:27. So he's saying to you that look, this is not his house in that sense. Alright? So he now said, look, Lord, hearken unto my cry, unto my prayer, to which thy servant, verse 28, prays before thee today, verse 29. That thine eyes may be opened towards this house. Notice that. He separated what is building from God's presence. Night and day. Towards the place which you have said, my name shall be there. That thou mayest hearken the prayer which thy servant shall make towards this place. Then he says in verse 30, he says, and hearken thou to the supreme of thy servant and to thy people Israel, when they shall pray towards this place, that thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, you hear from him. So he separates where he dwells from what he does. Can you see it? So why did he build it? I told you before. They built it as a parable. So God's presence and God's dwelling is not a physical place. God's presence and dwelling is with people. But because the people will meet in a place, we will give regard to the place, not because of the place, but because of the people in the place. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Good. So, the house of God, or the church service, is a shrine. A place of worship. So I put something here, can write it down. I said, therefore, what is called the house of God is a place of worship. It's a place of revelation, where he reveals himself. It's a place of control and authority. Control and authority. That's why you discover that when a brother heard in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says, how we are going to exercise the authority, we'll come together. Let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. A brother and another brother, offense another brother, Matthew 18, in 15. He says, you go to the brother alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. If he will not hear you, verse 16, take two or more, no matter two or three, every word shall be established. If he now neglects to hear them, he said, tell it to the church. I told the word is synagogue, the assembly. Okay? Matthew 18, 17. And if he neglects to hear the church, that was the last place. That's the final place. He said, let him be unto thee as an eating man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He doesn't say that for the first one or the second one, it only when we come together. Look at 19. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth, such anything as done, but they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Let's take 20 together. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. Notice it doesn't use gathering for 16. It's when you are gathered. That's the church meeting. There I am in the midst of them. So this is like the highest level of authority. So in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul speaking to the church, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. It's commonly reported among you that there is called fornication. Such fornication, now fornication here is sexual immorality. It is among you. As is not as much as named among the Gentiles. As one should have his father's wife. That is a perversion of sexuality. Of sexual relations. And it says here, and you are puffed up, and have no rather mourned, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. That is, nobody saying anything about you, I'm just okay with it. For verily, as absent in the body, and present in spirit, I have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has done this deed. Let's take four together. In the name of our Lord, let's go again. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one to Satan for the son of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So it is when you are gathered. So there is authority. There is authority in that gathering. Look at chapter 6. There any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints. Notice it. It says, you have a matter with another brother, and you are going to the magistrate court, or to federal high court, or to the state high court, or to the customary court. Why are you doing that? And not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints, is it individual or collective? Very well. Shall judge the world. Which means that this is a judgment seat on its own. He says, and if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge the counselors of heaven? How much more things that pertain to this life? Let's take verse 4 together. If then you have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the assembly. So he says, bring this matter to church. Why? Because the church is a seat of God's authority. The church is a seat of God's authority. So there's authority in the church. There's authority in the church. Let me go back to what I said earlier. You know, we can fix the building and say, you know, guys, can we just change the chair here? Let's use this one, and we can do that one. We have not touched the church yet. Let's put the doors here. Let's do this one. Let's change where the car park. We've not touched the church. That's not the church. That's not the house of God yet. Maybe we should change the sound. That's not the church. When we touch the church, is when we start to say, what do we do when we come together? Then we are looking for trouble. What do we do? Guys, what can we do to spice up that we are looking for trouble? We are looking for God's trouble. Because now when we are fixing power supply, we're fixing the kind of air conditioner we want to use, we're fixing the sound system. That's still about us. That has nothing to do with his worship. When we are fixing, can we change the keyboard that we are using? Let's use, there's one like that, a friend of mine saw in Minnesota. It's $1 million. If you have pound, 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 in fact, you raise your hand without knowing. And then we have still not touched the house of God. Oh, you know, yes, you know. But when we say, what are we to do when we come together? They are saying, can we have this activity? The question is, what does the Bible say? You have a right, like Solomon's temple, to be anything you like. But when it comes to what is done, we don't dictate. That's why when Jesus entered that temple, and he says, you have my Father's house, Mark 11:17, shall be called the house of for all nations. You have made it a den of thieves. That's the activity. He says, look, this house, you have made it of merchandise. It's what you are doing there. So when we come together, we reduce prayer. It's the house of prayer, we reduce prayer. We don't allow the gifts of humans to be in manifestation. Then people start saying, say, oh, look, and then the Yoruba man says, I don't like the Igbo man. The Igbo man says, I don't like the Hausa man. Now we have come to his worship. At that point, the only thing that God will look at for is Chelsea. I don't like Chelsea. He said, look, that one is accepted. They are never out of the book of life. Amen. You see, whether I say I'm right or wrong is your business. You put Josephus. Then you are now touching worship. I say, the kind of music we are playing these days in church is too. Can't we have some good music? That's what you mean. You know, some good music, you know, and you know, even the way that we sing, we should be singing songs that are lively. That are lively. You know, he said, no, you know, said, no. That one is his house. And well, this issue of just teaching and teaching the Bible, can't we just bring somebody who is an expert in finances, an expert in this one? Then you know, say church service. You say somebody all the time like that. Somebody brought candidates for political parties. This was in the '90s to come and campaign. So this one will get up and say, "I'm from NRC." And say, "I'm telling you, you vote for me. I can do this." SDP. There are two parties there. I said, "What's going on?" You have made it a den of something else. You don't have a right to do that one. You don't have a right. Paul says that you know how you ought to behave. Now let's look at the kind of music. You know, people are saying, "You're not looking at the lyrics, the music." That is this, you know, it's just dry. Someone told me that in Lebanon. He said, look, I know the worship is good. I said, when I'm worshiping like that, he said, I feel the presence of God and all that. The songs were saying about the death of Jesus and you know what he has done for us. He said, but I don't feel the worship. I said, what do you mean? He said, the music is, as he said, I want a song that I can, this one says, I will remove my shirt. And I will sweat. I said, you know, I told him, I said, we're living in a trade fair center there. I said, if you walk out of this room, talk to your right. There's a place like that that's suited for you. You came to the wrong place. We don't do that one here. Doesn't mean that it's not, doesn't mean that we cannot, some of you are using that excuse to tell us why you don't dance well. He said, they say, your birthday, come and dance. And then he said, sing a song for you. I don't know what song. Use your hands. You can't dance. You can't step. No step. But that is your birthday. That one you can dance. That one you can fly. That one you can turn around. And, of course, be careful. But that's your bed. But this is his house. I get what I'm saying. What we do here is for him. We don't have to like the music. See, I'm not feeling the worship. I'm not feeling it. The way the song, some life in it. Like, you have made his house a nightclub. Are you here? His sacred place. His sacred place. That's what it is. So, that's why there are instructions. Nobody can instruct you what to do in your home. Do you get it? But when it comes to his home, he will instruct you. He will instruct you to pray. You don't have an option. Like you choose between, no. He will instruct us. It's his holy ground. Are you here? When it comes to even the gifts of the Spirit, Paul will say, look, if you have tongues and you are not going to interpret, say, keep quiet. That is even the manifestation of the Spirit. He said, because if you are not going to edify, stop. He gives instructions. You can't just get up and be speaking in tongues and speaking in tongues. Okay, interpret it. I have interpreted. Then say, keep quiet. When you are home, Paul says, I speak with more than you all. But when I come among believers, I must interpret. That is even the gifts of the Spirit. So you can't come to the house of God and be demonstrating that your tongues are nice. And then you say, I like how that guy's tongue sound. I stopped and I just watched him. I said, are you well? See, he saw lovely tongues. That's not it. We don't come here. We come to edify. Right? To build up. To build up. That's like 1 Corinthians 14. He kept giving instructions. You must build up. You must build up. You can't come here and be showing forth your wealth. And everybody's people that don't have. Paul says, no. Go to your house and do that. When you come here, you cannot shame those who don't have. It's his house. I mean, for example, he said, when you come to church, that they used to eat together. So those who used to have will bring their own. Those who don't have will just be looking. And they just be looking like, look at it. They are eating and say, brother, how are you? Bless you. We cover the earth. And he's covering his stomach. He said, we cover the earth. Well, when you are in your house, you can do that. Because it will be strange. Somebody comes to your house and says, you didn't cook my own? Oh, but what's happening to you? I don't remember of his family. He said, no, boy, we are better now. You need to come. Some brother like, you have to come in every day. You know, every day. I don't care to visit you to check on you. Check on me or check on my kitchen. So you have to. But when we come together, it's different. As soon as we come together, it's sacred. You can't show those things. We start to demonstrate our one spirit with God. He said now, because when you come together, there's no service, no sacrifice. This is why some are weak, some are sick, some even die. So when we come together, I said to you many times, the church is the table where the rich and the poor will sit down. And they are equals. That's the unity of mankind, right? Come on. Heaven and earth. You know, people say, when we get to heaven, those who say, when we get to heaven, when we die, your wealth will be nothing. Your tribe will be nothing. Your age will be nothing. Pay attention, no? When we woke up, you'll be something. But if I can't even say you are a red devil as a Christian, I mean, it's not right now, red devil. And you are saying it. I mean, it's so terrible. Even your business will tell you that you never walk alone. You're not talking about God. I mean, those are ungodly things. Let's face it. Guys, look. We're not joking here. Those are ungodly things. Anyway. some other time. Let's just leave this out.
No, but what is it when you get to heaven? It's not your age, even your wealth.
Oh God, this is heaven. Act it now. Is it not heaven? You want to change it again? Is it not heaven? Act it now. Because there's a unity here. Amen. Heaven and earth. Mankind. God and man. So what we do when we come together in these meetings, we practice heaven. Right? We practice heaven. We practice heaven. The unity of the Spirit, the unity of the faith. We practice heaven. Let me say this. That is why Paul dealt with immorality. You can't come here and be gloating over sin. And she says, no big deal. No! You can't also come here and celebrate unforgiveness. Because this is a house of forgiveness. You have to forgive. When you come with unforgiveness or strife in a church, Paul says what you are doing is that you are aligned with destroyer. Come here and come. They will be ushering, not you, none of you, not even in this church. And somebody they do that they just fought yesterday is coming and say, welcome. Yeah. You have allowed the flesh. What you have done is to bring an unholy thing into our service. Because this is it's his house. So our conduct is important. What we do, I mentioned last week about lateness. Late coming. If lateness was not an issue, why did you give us a parable of alertness? The parable of the 10 virgins. 10 of them slept off. He said the lamp went off. And the bridegroom is there. The 5 are prepared. As soon as the bridegroom opened, they came in. They all say, quick. Let me get Uber. Let me go and get. So I say, what did you use? Pay or Pampay? Let me know again. So they were just doing that. They rushed back. The door was shut. If you cannot see punctuality there, then you are in trouble. You can't choose when. The moment we say 7:30, brothers and sisters, except that of your control, 7:31 is they say. Can you hear me? You were quiet. Did you hear what I just said? Then it's a sin. Lateness is a sin. Lateness. When Jesus called the three, he asked them to come and pray. He came, 1 hour. The third time he said, sleep on. The time, that hour has gone. You can't dictate. I go to church 7:30. I like to enter at 8. Who are you? Well, I am a somebody. Let me ask you. When we come together at 7:30, is God here? So why are you here? He should be waiting for you. Why are you not here? Why are you not here? How many of you know what that means in university when the lecturer enters first? You know, you just, when is it that you just go back to the room? the man just shuts the door. When I was running my call to back, I warned my dad. I said, when the chief justice is in and he came upon the bench at the room later, he said, no, I said, no worry. And my father didn't give me time, but I didn't know what was bringing his, the host of his family. By the time they came, they said, and he had the IV. So I had 2 IVs, nobody used it. And unfortunately for him too, but he didn't care, he was not setting up a party outside. He's a Jebu man. So, Jebu, we can do party on anything. We can do party because we're going to the party. So we were doing the party, but interestingly that day, that's why today I don't have any picture of course about. I was going to preach, I warned him that I wasn't going to celebrate with them. So I could take a picture, I said, I have to go, I'm preaching somewhere now. I didn't take any picture. So they were the only ones that celebrated the culture, but I was not there. They had no boy they were celebrating. They were taking their own pictures. The main guy was gone. I had to be where I was to preach. I don't have a picture. They invented the picture I took when I had a program somewhere. Yeah. I just said, don't bring my wig and gown. Let me take to this brethren. The brethren were not lawyers. Don't be like me. I don't have that. So you know, you can't, punctuality is important. It's the house of God. It's sacred place. The Lord is here. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? The Lord is here. What are the things we do? We fellowship. You must know, nobody must irritate you. Nobody must irritate you. Some of them said, you know, he said the reason why he doesn't come here, the person told me, said I want to be in your church, but I prefer to follow you on social media. I said, why? He said, he didn't want to say it clearly, but I know what he was saying, that he just didn't find himself among some people, you know, that. So he now went to his own church, where, you know, you could see that there are elitist church. I said, the day I pastor a church like that church that you are going to, let my name be written on the book of life. I said, I will never. A church where you celebrate class, that's not God. That's not God, though. In fact, the assembly of the saints should teach you humility. I said, I won't do it. The guy said, I'm following you online. I said, whatever you are doing online, you remain online. You can't come. See, I need to be in a place where he told me to my dad. People are very bold these days. He told me. Like what Ebo said. He said, people are now bold about sin. They are getting bolder. He said, I might tell the pastor that, you know, because you know, when I come around, he said, I just don't feel good, you know. He said, I normally roll with upward mobile folks. You know, and I'm looking around, and he said, I look for right connections, people that you can do business with, and all that. I said, I won't pass that kind of church. Write it off. It won't happen. Is that clear? Because I'm not pastoring to make money. So, why would that be my focus? And it's so funny, really, because when you are in a nation or a continent like Africa, where majority are meant to be below the poverty line, and you are looking for a church of wealthy people, you are not ready to preach the gospel. So here, you put all those things aside. If you like, have 4 PhDs. Eventually, RIP will end it. That's the truth. Here we have the Spirit of God. What's common to us? The Holy Ghost. Do we give more reverence to the Holy Ghost? Yes, we do. We walk in love, walk with it. We serve. Is that clear? That's the church. Some people say, no, this church, you know, there was a time like that. I had to change myself. Now, this is not to give you any, I told them at some point, I was watching that was years back, one of our TV, and I told the people, I said, let's watch those who sit in front. I said it, I'm the pastor here. I said, put those in front, let them wear something different and all that. By the second week, I just told the team, I said, please, I was wrong. That was the flesh. You know, why do I have to look at those who are in front? I'm not talking to you. You're okay. What is that saying? Let me just give you. And I felt that, there's a real way they should look at this TV now. You know, that's an entertainment show. Right? This is the house of God. What is key here is who is here. Yahweh is here. Jehovah is in home. So everything we do must be to his glory. You cannot say people who are well dressed and looking exquisite to sit in front, that's not to his glory. Are you here? Of course, I expect people to come to church well dressed. If you can dress well to other places, why do you come to church casually? Because you don't know where you are. I believe that where you should, I'm not asking you to be fashion crazy, but you should, I'm going to meet saints of God. I'm going to honor God. You know, and where I'm going to is so important. and I will dress for it. Do you get what I'm talking about here? But that's when you have the money. They go and say, I want to, can you borrow me 2K? Say what? No, I'm going to church now. I have to show. No, I have to show. And I have to represent. No. You know, that guy that came to say that, he was dripping. You are still in the world. You know, some folks, like someone said, he said their old man did not die. He only collapsed. You can revive me very quickly. Oh, brother, you know, he didn't know what to do with the R. Kelly song. He said, Pastor, there's this song that just came from my spirit. I said, what? He said, I didn't know where it came. I said, tell me that. He said, I believe in your name. I believe in your wonderful name. I said, can't you see something there? So that was just came from the spirit. How did that come from your spirit? It's what you know. You know, me too and my friends, okay, you know, when like that's an angel song. You are my strength. So we're thinking, so one guy, his name was Bayo, he said, you know, that song, he's using to worship and all that. Larry was, me too, I like this song. Larry said, you didn't know I am baby, baby. You know, like with context, you know, is the author that determines the meaning. The author said, baby, you are saying Jesus. You are deceiving yourself. The author of the song said, baby, 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 you are saying Jesus, Jesus. You know very well your mind is baby, baby, and you're are you here? That's why I have to look that song. Me too, I like the song. I said, how can you make me song like Jesus? Yeah, but baby, baby. So this is his house. Amen. Amen. What we sing must be about him. What we do. When we are learning his word. Amen. Even when you are trying to, you say, no, I'm here to learn about God. Is that clear? We don't come here to learn about career talk. There was none. What would Jesus have thought about career talk? Fisherman? I mean, the carpenter. Did you see Peter do a series on how to fish? Or Paul, how to be? No! It's even an abuse. And you see some pastors, they will delve into areas where they are totally illiterate. That's the truth. There are things I will say, I want to be a professional. Am I right? They will say, Pastor, that was not correct. Correct me. Because it's not in the Bible. I'm going now and explaining technology. Well, what is your first degree? What's your first degree? You study chemistry. Or theater art. How do you want to explain this? Say, I read up. You read up. So you would have to employ you somewhere because you read up on Google. So what do you mean on Google? We're going to employ you and give you a salary. How's that possible? Leave those areas alone before you're there. So everybody, he said, when it comes to investment, that real estate is the real property. I said, Oga, leave this thing. It's not your, he said, I'm just thinking, he says, the Holy Ghost, it's not Holy Ghost. Investment is not Holy Ghost. A totally godless man will teach you investment far better than a pastor. Because the pastor will now say, then when you now release your faith, you now been, Maybe that's what. You know what he's saying? Why you do this one? This one. I think something yesterday in the meeting. If I won't get that prophet, he's not a Christian, he just said, well, we're having a Jewish economy. 2015, 2016. And it happened. He's not, he doesn't have any Holy Spirit. It's just his career. So, this is his house. Are you clear? Now let me say this in closing. It doesn't matter what people are doing with it. You know, sometimes you think that, but this person is doing, and you think, does it matter? When Jesus got to the temple, did he say, well, since you have been doing this for years, let's leave it? No! He said, it shall be a house, it's meant to be a house of prayer. So it doesn't matter how many people are doing it that way. You owe God your worship. This is his secret place. And we're going to make it that way. From next week, let me see it in your attitude. Do you hear me? In your conduct. The way you attend. Don't leave the service like you are possessed. Just jump in the movie car. Greet people. How are you? Because Paul said, greet one another, right? Greet people in church. How are you? How's everything? You know?
Some of us will do it in the world, but when it comes to church, we don't think they're on our level. Don't do that. Oh, you wash your name. You know, tease people, particularly those who wear blue as club. Tease them. Tell them that they are going nowhere. Tell them. You know, some of them now became imagined supporters of Man City. Shameless people. God will deal with you. You know, that's church, okay? You know, let down your hair. Even if you don't have. This is a sacred place. We worship Him in love, in service, in learning His word, in meeting needs. And let's make that our attitude. Blessed, stand to your feet. In Jesus' name.